Morning. It's good to be with you all today. Couldn't help but on the way here this morning with the sunshine and me and my trusty sidekick Tristan on our way to services this morning, being so grateful for all that God had done yesterday for us and looking forward to a great day of service ahead of us. I'll be talking tonight pertaining to worship and sharing some thoughts this evening from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I know I've benefited from it, and I know that you will as well if you come, because God's word will be taught and will be spoken. Have you ever thought to yourself, if I ever known now, if I had listened when I was younger, listened to those with experience around me, that I do things differently today? Have you ever said that to yourself? We might even use the expression or the phrase, if only I'd known then what I know now. You ever had that come upon your mind? Know if you're like me, when you make statements like that, you're regretting how things have turned out, how they've unfolded in our lives. I've listened to parents interact with each other. I know I've mentioned this before. Before I even got married, I would listen very intently to the adults around us, and in particular, those that had children, because I deeply desired to have children in my home. And one day when God felt that I was ready, He would bring someone into my life. But I wanted to make sure that before that day happened, that I listened very intently to those that were older and were raising and have raised children. And I heard this often. May all of us pray for wisdom. And may all of us seek God's will in His great book, the Bible. And I know that if we do those things, God will open to us doors of opportunity for us to learn and to grow and to thrive in this area of being a parent. You know, it's interesting when we look at Scripture. Paul tells young Timothy of the responsibility of the older women to teach the younger women. There was a slide that I failed to talk about two lessons ago on this subject. Isn't it interesting that in the instruction of the older women to the younger women, they are to instruct young women on how to love their children? That's interesting to me. Recently, Heather came in contact with a book. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, but didn't talk about it. The Five Love Languages. And it's kind of opened my eyes to my children. Maybe you've read this book. Maybe you haven't. It's one of the books that I would recommend. I know I've not been through it cover to cover. I've read several of the pages. And Heather has shared several of the ideas in the book. And it helps us learn how to appreciate and foster and encourage love in our children. If you remember last week's lesson, we talked about, and the week before, how uniquely different each child is. Well, so it is with love. Children experience and grow in love in different ways. The five languages of love that's described in this book is physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, and gifts. Now, when you begin to appreciate that each child is uniquely different, each child is created by the fingers of God, the mind of God, and each child learns in different ways, right? We talked about that. Teach a child in the ways that he should go. And talking about the way that that child learns. Each child, each person is uniquely different. We learn in different ways, but there are some similarities from child to child. As I go through the list of my motley crew, I can see some of my children respond very well to physical touch. They have to touch me, I have to touch them. I've got one sitting in the seat by my wife this morning that very much is in tune with that. He likes to be touched, but he also likes words of affirmation as well as acts of service. And now that I know that about my child, I can focus uniquely to him and foster this wonderful love relationship between him and I. Wives, that's a great challenge that you have. Most of you wives will spend more time with your children than your husband. What will you use? How will you use that time? It's a good book, and I recommend getting acquainted with it. I would also strongly urge young parents to consider the counsel that you seek out. I've come to appreciate this as well. As I would sit and listen to these, in my mind, aged parents, and they would talk about their experiences. When I had a question about raising children, I did not and will not go to some family member or somebody my age. They're in it with me. I want advice and I want experience. Those that have been and tread through the and walk on in the same places that I have, but yet have seen the other side of it. And that's why when I do a series like this, I'm not relying upon my own experience because I'm right in the thick of it. I don't have a lot of experience. I don't know what it's like to have teenagers. I don't know what it's like to live my life a certain way and reap the consequences when they leave the home. I'm not there. And so naturally, if I want to do things right with my children who are young, I want to reach out to those who are older, who have faithful children, who have done a good job to raise respectful children. And so I would caution the young parents, even of this group, to be careful who you seek out for guidance and instruction. Look to those who have demonstrated that they have raised God-fearing children. And then as you sit down to talk with them, let them talk and you listen. Come to experience as the younger generation, we are not good listeners. We're good tellers. We tell a lot about what we want, but we're terrible when it comes to listening. And as young parents, we need to be there. We need to listen and listen intently. I like what Wilson Adams has to say, and I'm going to read a little section, one of the study books that I've been going out of, and he's got some great thoughts. While the task of child rearing is demanding, it was never intended to be burdensome. Throughout God's Word, it is evident that God views raising children as a great blessing and a privilege. Did you catch that this morning? Let's go back to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. There's a thought that I want to present to you this morning. It's a thought that I've been mulling over all week. Psalm 127 and in verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." He goes on to say in this verse, "The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And he says in verse 5, "Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." Isn't that an interesting thought? Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Any of you that have multiple children realize the strains that one more adds. It's difficult. It's hard. But in Psalm 127, It teaches us how we are to have the proper mindset when it comes to raising our children. If your quiver is full, you be happy. And I believe that for many reasons. Some because some are not able to have children, desire it more than anything. And they carry the hurt around with them, unable to have children. But on the second, those of us that are blessed with children need to realize that those children come from God. And they are a blessing. And we ought to be happy. And so if we are walking around constantly upset, constantly mad, then maybe we need to reevaluate how we are raising these great blessings. Because God never intended it to be something that is burdensome. It's a joy. Does not come without its heartaches and pains. But overall, parenting should be a positive experience. Now, for those of us that are struggling, raising children isn't so positive, maybe you need to go back to the drawing board and reconsider how you are doing things. You're doing it your way, whatever information you have, and it's not working out as God intended parenting to work out for you. So what will you do? I hope you'll consider some of the thoughts that we'll talk about this morning. Wilson Adams goes on to say this, "Indeed, there is no greater joy than caring for a vulnerable and innocent child who depends upon you for everything, and then be able to turn that young heart towards God. There is no higher calling in this world." And that's the great struggle that we go through as being a parent. How do we get this young child to recognize God in their life? Well, let's study together for a few moments on this subject. Let's talk about this idea of willful defiance. Let's think about that for just a second. When we speak about willful defiance, what are we talking about? It's a deliberate act of disobedience. You tell your child something, and they respond with the exact opposite. The direction has been given, the instructions are very clear, and they do the exact opposite. You see, that is much different than what we talked about last week. We talked about the idea of a child being a child. They spill something. Does that deserve a spanking? No, it doesn't. That's not willful defiance. There was an accident that took place. When we speak of willful defiance, we're talking about one who is given instruction and does the exact opposite. I think about Sister Becky and Brother Nick and Katie and several of the other ones that are involved with children on a daily basis. I know Tammy fills in and substitutes. You see it in children today, in the classrooms. You turn on the TV and you see how the police officers are being treated. Young man rebels against a police officer. He tells him to get on the ground. He doesn't listen. He fights with the police officer. He has to restrain him. And then we have parents that complain because the police officers use too much restraint. We see it on the TVs. We see it on YouTube. We see it on Facebook. We see it all over the place. And the fallout begins where? Whose fault is it really? Ultimately, it falls back on you, the parent. You have not done your job to teach your child how to respect authority. There's another paragraph that I want to read. It's entitled, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. And isn't that so true? Wilson Adams says this, and he refers to this book from Dr. James Dobson. He says this, "In my opinion, spanking should be reserved for the moment a child expresses a defiant, 'I will not,' or you shut up. When a youngster tries this kind of stiff-necked rebellion, you had better take this out of him. And pain is a marvelous pacifier. When nose-to-nose confrontation occurs between you and your child, it is not the time to have a discussion about the values of obedience. It is not the occasion to send him to his room to pout. It is not appropriate to wait till tired old dad comes walking through the door from work. You have drawn the line in the dirt. The child has deliberately flopped his big hairy toe across the line. Who is going to win? Who has the most courage? Who is in charge here? If you do not answer these questions concisely for the child, he will look for other opportunities to disregard what you have to say. Paraphrasing. What does that mean to you? I know what it means to me. I remember some of the advice that I got from an older man. He said, "Neil, when you put on the gloves and go into the fight, you come out a winner." And what he was saying is, pick your battles. And when you pick a battle, you must win. A child must understand his place. We as parents need to insist that our children respect us. Parenting is not for cowards. We must have a backbone, and we must stand firm. It's not enough in today's world to think positive. That's wonderful, and it's well. But that's not all there is when it comes to being a parent. I can think all day long positive thoughts about my child. That's the society that we're growing up in. That's how they expect us to view our children. Don't discipline. Eventually they'll learn the right way. You just stay positive. It takes hands-on discipline. It takes us being willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the task that God has granted to us. It's not getting done. Nothing is sadder when those of the older generation come to visit a young family and watch a young child defiantly challenge his parents' authority and get away with it. Just last week in this building, I saw two children hit their mothers. And no consequences were given as far as I could see. Maybe the consequences came later. But when a child does those kind of things, the consequence needs to be then and quick. And as a father, when we watch a young child strike out at the mother and do nothing, we are doing a great injustice to our child. And so I want us to consider five things that all of us should consider when we talk about parenting. Proverbs chapter 13. I will not apologize for that statement. Fathers, if you are at home and watching your children hit your wife and you think that's cute, there's a big problem. And it needs to be addressed in your home. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, it says this: "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Or diligently. That's kind of an interesting word. I hadn't thought much about it before some studies on this subject. And really that idea there of promptly or diligently, some translations might say at dawn. That's the accurate view of this. At dawn, be ready. For what? Be ready, because in that day there are going to be situations that arise where you're going to have to take care of your child, where you're going to have to enforce discipline. And if you love him or her, you will do it. Discipline your child early in life. Why is this critical? Think about it like this for just a second. Turn over to 22, Proverbs chapter 22. Why do you think it's so important to discipline your child at a young age? I'm realizing very quickly, I've got a little boy that's sitting on my wife's lap, that in a few years from now, I am confident he's going to be able to whoop me. I'm confident of it. And if I don't get his will under control now, nobody's going to be able to control him when he gets a few years on him. It's vitally important that we realize the instruction that God has given to us as parents. Discipline our children now, while they're young. Why? Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 15 it says this: foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. That's an interesting thought there. The idea of foolishness there is not the idea that we talked about last week. A child runs with a cup of water in his hand, slips and falls. It's an accident took place. Much different than what we're talking about here and now. It's the idea of having a defiant spirit. Each child is born with it. That's one thing that's been very similar with all of my children. Some of them born to us naturally, some of them adopted in. But each and every one of those children had a defiant will. Every one of them, as sweet as they look, every one of our children will have a defiant will. Some greater and more extreme than others. But each one of them will have it. What do we do with that? What do we do with this information here? The idea, this defiant spirit is bound up in the heart of a child. It's there. It's sealed. It has to be removed. The cover is on. We need to pull the cover off and pull that spirit out of them. That's what's described for us here in Proverbs chapter 22 and in verse 15. We think about that for just a sec. Why is it so important? Why push it? Why deal with it? Why not just let them be them and eventually we'll see. They'll do the right thing. Psalm 14. Let's go there first. Psalm 14. This is why. When we look at Proverbs and we look at that text in 22 and verse 15, this is what's described for us here. Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no authority. You know, we think about people on this side of eternity, those that try to remove God out of their life. What are they really trying to do? They're trying to remove authority out of the picture. If we can remove God out of the picture, then we can do whatever we want to do. That's what a child wants to do. He wants to become the standard of authority himself. That's why you have little children that will come in and will try to tell you what to do. You tell them to do something and they'll tell you something back in return. That's that heart beginning to open. That's that idea that we're talking about here. This willful defiance coming out of such a beautiful child. In Psalm 14 and verse 1, it teaches us about this. There is nothing pretty or funny about willful defiance. Nothing. And we need to understand that as parents. It is a characteristic that hates instruction. I have a child. I'll begin to tell him something. And before I'm even finished telling them what I want to tell them, they respond with, I know, and they walk away. And you know what they always do? They don't know. And they end up coming back and saying, what did you say? But see, that's the attitude we're talking about. An attitude that knows. It does not want instruction. It despises discipline. It wants their own way. Now, before we're quick to just look at children, what about we ourselves? Do we have the I know type of attitude? Maybe you're sitting here as a young parent today and you're thinking, well, we'll let Neil have his spell. He can say what he wants to say, but in the end, I'm not going to change anything about my parenting skills. I'm going to do what I want to do. He doesn't know my child. God does. He does. And that's why in a series like this is so vitally important to you and to me. He does know your child. And he wants you to understand that a defiant will is bound up in the heart of your child, and you better begin to start shaping that willful defiance now before it's too late. Some information given is simply this. There is a brief window of opportunity from late infancy to early childhood when respect for authority can be established. When that is passed, the opportunity is gone. I think that's powerful. It's powerful. There is an opportunity. There's a period of window where we can teach and mold this will. When that time goes, it's gone. It's next to impossible to try and mold that defiant will in a teenager. Don't believe me? Try to ask some of the grandparents as they watch their young children try to direct an instruction and reason with their teenage kids. It's impossible. Get control at a young age. Don't let them have their way. Help them to appreciate God's way. Discipline while there is still hope. I love that text. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 19. I believe that's where it's at. Let's turn over there. Proverbs chapter 19 in verse 18. Yes. It says this. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. Chasten your son while there is what? Hope. Does that mean that there is a time when there's no hope? I think when any child is breathing, there's always hope. But it complicates things immensely. The opportunity ceases. Chasten your son while there is still hope. And do not set your heart on his destruction. Isn't that interesting? That we as parents, as well-intended as we are, can cause consequences and hardships for our children down the road. Do you know that? When we fail to control and get control of this defiant will that's in every child, we are setting them up for destruction. That's what's happening. We need to understand that as we deal with our children. By the time he is walking, a child is already testing the boundaries and acts of defiance. Is he not? Before too long, Brother Jackson's going to realize this as a new parent. That little child starts to walk, you're all excited about it, but then you realize the challenges that come with that. Baby-proofing a house becomes very much in your face when you have a new toddler. They touch everything. You tell them don't touch something, they touch it. What is that? That's a teaching opportunity. Teach them. They're not supposed to touch that, and they touch it. They're willfully defying you. Deal with it. Don't say it's cute. Deal with it. Start at a young age. Start early. It's what God would expect us to do. Get his attention. And there's nothing that will get your child's attention more
than a little bit of pain.
Also, stay balanced. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15 teaches us to stay balanced as parents. It teaches us there, the rod and reproof give wisdom. There's both that's needed. There are times when corporal punishment needs to be inflicted, and there's times when reasoning needs to take place. The idea of words. A wise man, he understands both. And he uses both. And as a child gets older, there's less of the rod and more of the reproof. That's what God would intend it to be. Stay consistent. That's probably one of the greatest challenges as a young parent, is to stay consistent with the plan that God has given us. All of these verses, God intends us to understand and appreciate it's a blessing, but it's hard work, and the work must be done, and it must be done at a young age. And it's hard to be consistent. We're tired. We've worked all day. Maybe there's a few children to deal with. There's laundry to do. There's this to do. There's that to do. Maybe both parents are working. And a child does something. It's very easy for us to sit back and say, I'm just too wore out to deal with it. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're sending mixed messages to your child. They won't understand the rules. There's nothing that's more unfair to a child than spanking him for something that you let go times before. Be consistent. Establish the rules firmly. Let nothing get in the way of that. Discipline privately. That's one thing that I've come to appreciate. I've not always done that, but I'm coming to appreciate that more and more and more. The whole idea of discipline is to get a child to understand authority and respect who God is. Why in the world would we want to humiliate our children? Why would we want to do that? Take them aside. Discipline them privately. I know that's one of the reasons many church buildings have a cry room. It's there for a reason. It's called a cry room because a child should go back there and cry, not play, not have a good time, but understand these very principles that we're talking about. And be consistent when it comes to holding your child. When you've had to spank, when you've had to deal, discipline, whatever you've had to do with your child, sit down, hug them, and explain to them why you had to do what you did. Tell them again, reaffirm what they did wrong, why this happened this way. Be consistent. Very quickly, the last two points. Be reasonable and keep your sense of humor. Some parents set the bar way too high. Recently, I coached the boys in basketball. And it's their first year. They've never played on a team before. And I had my bar set way high. I was a pretty good ball player in high school. And so I thought, I'm going to coach this team and get my boys the ball and make one of them a guard and one underneath, and they're going to dominate the game. Tate was holding hands, dancing with one kid down the floor and completely doing the opposite of what I wanted him to do. I had the bar set way too high. And I think we do that. I know I do that often with my children. I expect so much out of them. I've been unfair with Kaylin. I'd use this one. You're the oldest. Start acting like it. You see what I've done? I've set the bar really high already off the bat. And they should understand that. She should act better than the rest. She's the oldest. Well, let's not set the bar too high. Let's leave room for their shortcomings. And let's leave room for our shortcomings as well as parents. Keep your sense of humor. I've come to appreciate that over the years as well. I sometimes find myself being so frustrated with my kids and having to discipline them that I find myself like a crazy person sitting and laughing my head off. It makes no sense. And we will go nuts as parents if we don't keep our sense of humor. We've all heard that story of the young boy who was misbehaving in services. And as his father scooped him up and walking towards the back of the building, the young child responds back, "Pray for me, brethren." That little boy didn't get a spanking when he got to the cry room. Keep your sense of humor. We lose that sometimes as parents. I know that's been me. I've lost my sense of humor sometimes. Life becomes so serious, and then every little imperfection, every little mistake, we deal with our children in a wrong way. Can I give you some questions to think about this morning as a young parent? The scriptures tell us to seek wise counsel. Why do you think some younger parents reject it? Why do you think that is? Maybe you as a young parent, you're sitting here this morning. Maybe you'll get these CDs. We have several of our young families that aren't here this morning. Maybe we'll get them CDs. Why is it that sometimes as younger parents, we reject the wise counsel of the older generation? I know why I do that from time to time. I can't presume to know why you might do that from time to time. But I know what God says. Seek out those that are wise. Close your mouth. You have no experience. Listen to the older generation. Question number two, something for you to think about this afternoon. Is there any doubt that God gives instructions, and God instructs parents to inflict corporal punishment spanking on a defiant child? Is there any doubt that God has given instructions on how to deal with that? No, there's no doubt. We've looked at scriptures this afternoon. Look at Proverbs. Look at Psalms. God is very clear how to deal with a defiant child. Now the question and the challenge is, what will we do with God's instruction? How will we handle our little defiant child? I've got one that tries me more than all the rest. She is sweet and I love her so much. And there are times when I look at her and I just say, I can't. No, it's not that we can't. It's we won't. God tells us what we need to do with a defiant child. What does Proverbs 19 and 18 mean to you? Think about that this afternoon. Go home and read it. Study it. Appreciate it. Put it to practice in your life. I want to talk just very shortly and very quickly about question and point number four. Church discipline. Is there a way to act in services? Let me ask you a question. Is there a way to act at school? Is there a way to act at a funeral? Is there a way that we should act at a restaurant? Is there a way to act in services? Let me ask you a question. Whose service is this anyways? Is this our service? It's the Lord's service. And we need to appreciate that. This is His service. We have come here to honor Him, to give Him the respect that He's so richly deserving of. When your child acts up, what will you do? How will you handle that child? I've come to appreciate this as well. Heather and I are uniquely different this way. The children can be going nuts, climbing off walls, spinning on the fans, and she would be completely oblivious to it all. Me, I walk in the room and I have a heart attack. I can't handle it. It drives me squirrely. And I think we fail to appreciate that when we come here and worship together. What I might be able to put off, others might not be able to. And my child, who is such a blessing to all, now becomes a distraction to those who want to think about God on such an important time as worship service. When your child acts up, what will you do with he or she? How will you handle it? I hope that you will. They need to be taught to sit quietly. And the back is not for fun. I once listened to an older elder say they were having a problem at their local congregation. They had the cry room, but several of the ladies were going back there and having a conversation, and kids were playing in the cry room.
And the elders said, we've got to meet about this and put a stop to this. I've listened to parents say this. If we go to the back, it's not going to be for fun. If we go to the back, there's going to be business that's taken care of back there. And we're going to wipe your nose, we're going to get business taken care of, and then we're going to come back in and we're going to sit down. When I think about this, there is a way for us to act. And after a few tears, if we'll be consistent and teach our children the things that God intends us as parents to teach them, as they get older, we're going to find several of them sitting on the front row taking notes. We're going to find several of them obeying the gospel. And we're going to find several of them remaining faithful throughout the years to come. Let me end this lesson with this question. How many of you want to see your children fail? How many of you want to see your children fail spiritually? If you don't, then do your job. It's yours. God expects you to do it. And I hope this morning as you've listened to this lesson that these points have sunk in. I know for me, you might say, well, he's beat me up this morning. Listen, I've dealt with these lessons. I've been preparing this series of lessons for 3 months now. And I have cried. I have stressed over this. I have been a bad parent. I've missed on a lot of these things. But I'm determined from here on in to do the right thing. And I'm going to mess up and I'm going to make mistakes. But I am determined that I will succeed. And with God's help, I will. Being a parent is hard and difficult, but it's not impossible. And God wants us to experience the joys in raising children. Do you want the joys? Then do your work now. The joys will come. Do your work now. Are you here this morning and not a child of God? I humbly ask of you, why not? Why not become one this morning? There's no more convenient time for you to respond to the gospel. And I'll tell you, I don't want to put pressure on you this way. As a young woman or as a young man, you want to make your family and your mom and dad happy with you. This moment, if you respond because you understand the authority of God, understand who Jesus Christ is, and want nothing more, nothing less than to be part of the family of God. You're willing to turn from your life. You want to make your parents happy this morning? Respond. Respond to the gospel call. Be faithful for the rest of your life. Maybe some of you this morning are not being as faithful as you should. The time to correct that is here and now. God is a loving Father. And he's ready and willing to forgive you. Will you bring it to him? I hope and pray that you will by coming to the front or raising your hand as we stand and as we sing.